Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
His living soul searches places that he don't want to go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah. All the lies tell us just who to be. Can't set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, welcome once again. You are listening to What the World Needs Now. And my brothers and sisters, what the world really needs now is for each one of us and you who are listening, every member of our family of listeners, what the world needs now is for you to use your gifts to build up the kingdom of God. And so we praise and thank God that this Catholic radio apostolate has been on 37 years going, and praising and thanking God that it is you. You're the real evangelist. It is you that are using your own gifts to completely support this radio apostolate and to forward the gospel of life, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so once again, I am most grateful for all your support. As you know, we are 100% supported by our listeners, and that's a great accomplishment for all of you. What a wonderful, wonderful gift that you're giving to God, that through your prayers. This ministry must be underpinned with prayer. And I got the best prayer warriors in the world. I praise and thank God that not only through your prayers, through your sacrifices, and through your financial giving, that you continue to forward the gospel. And for that, I am ever most grateful. But again, we have to open our own gifts. We have to use them for the glory of God. And we have to let our light shine brightly in the darkness. So once again, it is through you, through your generosity, through your faithfulness, that we need to say thank you to you. I want to thank all the sisters up there, the Most Blessed Sacrament, that kneel and pray before the Blessed Sacrament, right up there at the shrine. And it's through your prayers, again, and your love and your faithfulness that have asked us to partner with you so that you can support us in prayer. Sisters, I don't know where we'd be without you and all of our prayer warriors. So God bless you. Now, my brothers and sisters, I think we have somebody that you're really going to be interested in. As you know, Wednesday is the day I usually interview different guests that from all over the world that are actively involved in their own apostolates. And today I have with me on the air, but not in the studio, by phone, and that's Maureen Flynn. Maureen is the founder and president of Signs of the Times Apostolate Incorporated. Now, Maureen is a publisher and author of Signs and Wonders of Our Times magazine, and she was the co-author of a bestseller, The Thunder of Justice. Maureen has been reporting on miraculous phenomena and pro-life and family issues for over 24 years. She's also the founder of the International Prayer and Fasting Coalition, pardon me, which will be held this year, first time in over 20 years. It'll be held in September, and the dates on that are September 21st through the 29th. She was the founder and director of Crisis Pregnancy Centers in Northern Virginia, and is a frequent speaker on radio shows and conferences. So once again, welcome Maureen Flynn.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate that. And thank you for your wonderful service with In His Sign Network and carrying on the great work of Dom Letieri and his wonderful wife, who I met years ago and was struck when he passed from this world in the month of January, which is dedicated to the Holy Name of Jesus.
That's right.
And he died on the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus. And he used to, I remember him always saying, "Praise the name of Jesus." He
Amen.
Was just so
That's
excited.
Right.
And when I saw that he died that, you know, in that month and that day, I said, "Dear Lord, did the Lord chose that date for him?"
Amen.
And of course he's having a great time up there, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
And thank you for carrying on the work and continuing the evangelization and everything that you all do there.
Well, thanks, Maureen. And Maureen, I want to ask you a little something, a little bit about your apostolate.
Sure.
For those who don't know, I happen to, I'm very familiar with your magazine.
Oh, great.
I think it's a wonderful magazine. And for those who aren't maybe familiar with it, tell us a little bit when the apostolate itself started.
Mm-hmm.
And how the Lord drew you even to go further with that ministry.
Sure.
In different aspects.
It began for the inspiration for the Signs of the Times Apostolate. Really, was from the Blessed Mother, and it was after I came back from Medjugorje, Yugoslavia, in 1987 during the Marian year,
mm-hmm.
and I had been doing a lot of pro-life work and had been doing talks throughout the diocese on chastity and pro-life and was seeing so much destruction back then of the innocent, not knowing that it was going to get even worse. And I began to realize that one of the root problems was the lack of understanding of the faith, not knowing the commandments, not being formed in the faith, because I saw many Catholic girls who were making a decision to choose the killing of their children as an option instead of adoption. And I remember I was shocked. And when I went to Medjugorje in September 1987, I prayed to the Blessed Mother, asked for help. What do you want to do? What do you want me to do? I consecrate my life to you, however you want me to use you to use me. Of course, that's dangerous, as you know.
Yeah.
Say those prayers. I was too naive and young to know. I laugh now looking back. And when I came back, I made the decision to attend daily Mass. And I had already been going to more Masses during the week, other than, of course, Sundays. I was trying to go on Saturdays and because my children were young at the time. But once I got back from Medjugorje, I made a concerted effort to pray the daily rosary. The Blessed Mother asked us to
right.
do that. I said, I've got to honor her requests. I changed my life as far as going, attending monthly confession and just incorporating the whole thing of fasting. And, you know, Medjugorje was a huge landmark in my life, putting me in a whole, you know, different direction in a bigger way. And in May of 1988, I prayed. I was in a women's prayer group,
mm-hmm.
and I prayed and received some inspiration, some thoughts of what to do, because I said to my friends, how come there's no centers around here talking about, you know, Our Lady and what's happening at Medjugorje? What about Fatima? People don't even know about Fatima. Because when I came back from Medjugorje, I started to research other apparitions to understand more.
Hmm.
Not knowing, of course, one thing would lead to another, but that's how it started. And I just remember writing out some ideas for a Marian Center and really just prayed and started a newsletter in April of 1989. And Father Albert Hebert became our spiritual director. I don't know if you know who he is. He wrote many books.
He passed away not long ago.
Yes, he yeah. passed away in 2000. I was trying to think of the year. 2002. 2002 or 2004. Yeah. So one of our magazines, we dedicated, you know, a whole
right.
thing to him. Wonderful priest, very, very dedicated, a warrior, a workhorse. He was just amazing. So we started as a newsletter, and I worked out of my house and started to look at different books. And I was a big reader, and when I started to read all these books about, you know, Lourdes or Fatima or about the Eucharist, I remember thinking, well, how come there aren't more places that distribute these books?
Mm.
So this is what one thing led to another. I think, and I'm sure this has happened with you, heaven is very strategic.
Yeah.
Because, of course, if we all knew the work involved, right?
That's
how many
exactly
of us would,
right.
would say, oh, I'll do it. We don't sometimes know. So it's like step by step by step. So I started to carry some books and put it in my trunk and started to do this newsletter. And we started from scratch, worked with another woman, great graphic designer. She helped with the newsletters. She helped a lot with the research. And then in 1990, early 1990, I remember thinking, Lord, this is wonderful, and hopefully you were reaching people, but it's getting to be a bit much. The house I had at the time did not have a basement, and it was, you know, it was a nice house, but there wasn't a lot of room mm-hmm. for books and all this. And so I started to pray, Lord, bless the mother, whatever you want. If you desire us to continue this in the house, fine, but we probably need a bigger place. Or if you decide you want something else, I'm open, whatever you want. Of course, you know, that's a dangerous prayer, too. And by the way, we will promote devotion to Divine Mercy no matter what, you know, what happens.
Right.
And in April of 1989, I met a very special group of men, without going into all the details. They asked me to go to a meeting. They wanted me to go in with them in their particular office that they wanted to lease. We had no kind of funds for that, but I went to the meeting praying the whole time, and at the end of the meeting with 12 men, and I'm sitting next to the head person, and he said to the men at the end who were asking me to go in with them, business is business, apostolate is apostolate. I almost fell out of my chair. He said,
yeah.
I'm going to lease the space to you for your business. And then he turned to me and goes, so tell me what you do. And so I would love to actually have had a camera on to see what actually I said. But basically just shared with him how my life had been changed by the Blessed Mother and felt this need to get the word out on the importance of prayer, fasting, faith, conversion, peace. Let people understand the great truths of the Catholic faith and how exciting it is, and get more lay people involved. So he turned to the guy at the end of the table. He goes, I like what she's doing. He said, years ago someone helped me, so I'm going to pay it forward. That kind of, use that kind of language. I don't remember exactly the terms. So give them an office space over this place, and we'll help them out. So that's how we started. And we, in June of 1990, moved a huge picture of Divine Mercy into this big office space. And I look back and we laugh because we had no furniture. We had these beat-up bookcases. They were really, I mean, they were god-awful. Ugh. And so we said, okay, thank you, Lord. We have an office space. There are no desks. There's no phones. We don't have anything else, but evidently that's coming. So we thank you ahead of time. And we put the big picture of Divine Mercy up on the wall. And then as time went on, people donated. We got, you know, furniture, and that's how it started.
Right. And and it's been going strong ever since.
Yes, little by little.
Yep.
And God reminds me, I think when you experience the little miracles at the beginning, or some of them were big ones, it's sometimes easy to forget those beautiful days.
That's right.
And I know I've been thinking about recently and thanking Him and thanking Our Lady, because you know, there's no way in the natural realm we could have started it. I mean, it was definitely some divine intervention.
Tell us a little bit about, I know you were involved in Our Lady of Medjugorje, and you obviously had a deeper conversion. What was the main message, personally, for you, that you took away, Maureen, from your own visit to Medjugorje when you went on your first trip?
I would say it really hit me strong when I was there that at the time, I remember being concerned about all the problems in the world. Of course, it seems to have multiplied since.
Right.
But then it hit me how personal holiness, one person, can have an impact on a multitude of others. And if I changed, if I went to another level spiritually through the sacraments, I saw the power of the sacraments in a way that I think it was definitely some extra graces that I received there.
Right.
I saw the power of the sacraments, and I also saw the great power of Our Lady, really. She's a powerful lady up there. I mean, she's, after the Trinity, she's the most powerful woman. You know, she's the daughter of the Father, the mother of the Son, and spouse of the Holy Spirit. I think that hit me huge about Marian devotion.
Right.
And I felt like I came back with a personal understanding and relationship with her. I felt I had the relationship with our Lord, but that went into another deeper level, and my relationship with her went to another level. And then the whole thought, the whole concept of conversion and how families, individuals, and marriages convert the families, the children, and then the nation, and then the world.
Mm. And you've seen some of that take place out of your own ministry, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I've seen... I went in 1987 with my mom. In 1990, my husband, Ted, went, and that was truly fantastic. He and I went with my daughter, also in our church, and my husband had a wonderful experience there. It's like the Blessed Mother took him. He and I joke about it. I said, I hardly saw you. He just... went to all these places, and he was just on fire, and he goes, how come no one's writing about this? This is amazing. And I'm sitting there watching him explain, you know, exclaim so beautifully of what a powerful place it was, and I would only see him in the evenings when he'd come back from just visiting all these places in Medjugorje, and it really brought him to another level, and little did we know that we'd be writing a book together about the Blessed Mother's apparitions, and he's written some other books too, including Idols in the House and Hope of the Wicked,
mm-hmm.
exposing what the one world government's doing, and the battle, I always say the battle plans, you
right.
know, God's government on earth, and then the dark ruler has his plans, so we're in a real Star Wars is what I say today.
And you know, it's so true. I mean, when you stop and think about it, we are in those times that were prophesied so long
yeah.
ago, and we're seeing this, you know, the beginnings, that not only seeing the signs of it, but we're actually seeing the beginnings of it in our own time right now in regards to this one world government. We see all of the world and society, this secular news, it's just everything. We see that almost to the culture has seemingly trying to sanitize Jesus right out
exactly.
of our society. And do you feel that as well?
Oh, yes. I know when we began to write about, for example, as we began to research not only Medjugorje, of course, Fatima,
mm-hmm.
and Garabandal. The Garabandal was a real wake-up call to us, Ted and I. It's one of our favorite apparitions to report on and research. And Mother Teresa, Blessed Mother Teresa, was a huge supporter
mm-hmm.
of Garabandal, as was St. Padre Pio. So we got two saints that really believed in it. Of course, the church won't come down and make a formal,
right.
you know, saying it's, you know, definitely true,
approved.
Although they're very favorable
yeah.
towards it,
yeah.
because we still have to wait for certain events. But I think when I read back then how there'd be a great attack on the Blessed Mother, great attack on the Eucharist, there would be a huge attack at some point on our government and communism. We interviewed one of the Visionaries' brothers back in 94 when we were at Garabandal, and he's now deceased. It was Conchita's brother, and we said, well, what are some of the events that are leading up to the illumination of conscience, the warning? And Ted and I have written a lot about that, but there's a lot of information in old Catholic prophecies
yes.
that have been approved by the church, and, of course, a lot in present-day prophecies.
That's right.
And since we wrote the book, The Thunder of Justice, and we did an updated version a year and a half ago, which is really a different book. We should have named it something different,
right.
but it's an updated Thunder of Justice. We have met so many people. I'm sure you have also. It's people who have had near-death experiences, life after death, who have seen their whole life go before them.
Mm.
And now they are on fire. They're like some of the greatest evangelizers. So since writing the book, I've met many people who have experienced the illumination of conscience.
Yes.
And he said, Conchita's brother said to us, one thing, way you will know you're close, it would appear as if communism had spread all over the world. And I remember thinking, what? That is crazy in my head, you know. I'm
yeah.
thinking. Well, I don't think it's that crazy anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it's if we have eyes to see and ears to hear, mm-hmm. We know that we are in a battle. And, of course, we know there's two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And
yes.
I say that all the time, wherever I speak, wherever conference, whether it's in our country or outside the country, I say the same thing. And when they clash,
mm-hmm.
what side are you going to be standing on?
Exactly. And I think the younger generation, I know I grew up and heard about what communism was, which is just Antichrist,
right.
governments without Christ. And my husband had traveled a lot in the 90s to Russia. And he said the people were just terrific. Because, you know, all these prophecies that Russia, after the miracle, will convert.
Right.
It will be a great time of conversion. He said the people were wonderful. And at the time he was there in the 90s, they're, you know, very strong communist hierarchy. And I remember him saying the first thing that they would do in a communist country would take away the symbols. They would take away the crucifixes,
mm-hmm.
take away mention of the Lord. You know, they promoted abortions in a huge way, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we don't hear the term communism used in our own United States of America, and we pray that it never totally takes over. However, we are becoming influenced greatly.
Absolutely.
With an agenda that is anti-God, anti-Christ, with the promotion of the killing of the innocent, 55
million. 55
million.
In 40 years, yeah.
I mean, who would believe the United States of America, we're now talking about religious, we have to fight for a religious liberty. Hello, we were founded on religious liberty.
Right.
I mean, sometimes I look back and I don't know how you feel, but I'm a little shocked.
Yeah, I too. I mean, you talk about the prophets of old, but we have some wonderful prophets in our own time and in our own
yes.
day. And, of course, one of them being Pope Paul VI with his encyclical,
yes.
Humanae Vitae. Everything he spoke about, if we went down that path with contraception
mm-hmm.
and everything he said, just that under that one title,
yes.
that we would wind up going down such a slippery path that after a while nobody would believe this is the same country. And it's true, and we've lived it, we've seen it, we have eyes to see and ears to hear.
The devil went after the marriages, he
exactly.
went after, as you said, the family unit,
yep.
he went after promoting things like the pill, I call it the bitter pill,
yeah,
and that opened the doors for you know, promotion of fornication, promiscuity,
pornography, all of it. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you're absolutely right. Pope Paul VI was a prophet.
I always say, in our own time, he was a great prophet.
Yes.
And, and you know, time and time, and I know there's many, I have my own thing online, Ready My People, you know, that the prophetic word is going out through that. Many other people with a prophetic voice in the church, we know what time we are in. We are, and you know, you mentioned talking about when you first stepped out in faith and began
mm-hmm.
Your apostolate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people today, I was asked to give, I mean, just to show you the power of the Spirit,
right.
I was asked to give to present a life in the Spirit to a parish in St. Mary's.
Yeah, that's a great movement.
Yeah, and when I tell you that, and this is, like I said, not so much even to be, you know, to go into the charismatic era, to open
mm-hmm.
them up to a life in the Spirit, the life and power and authority of Jesus
yes.
Christ. When I tell you, when he said we're going to, you know, try to get something going this year of faith, I'd like something to catch on in our path. Well, we have 130 people that have signed up for Life in the Spirit. I have 15 discussion leaders, and I could use five more.
Wow, now, that's beautiful.
So when I tell you that the people are really hungering and thirsting for the living God, they're hungering and thirsting for new life. And the Spirit of God is, you know, Blessed John Paul II said, the new springtime. We're really in this time.
Yes,
we're in this
totally
time
agree.
As well. And I think sometimes people can have almost a fatalistic, we're in these end times. The bottom line is, this is a time of great empowerment, a time
great
of
evangelization.
Empowerment of the Spirit of God that dwells within us.
Exactly. I always say, as the tough times get going,
yep.
that the greatest saints are made during times like this.
Absolutely. I mean, that's our history.
Yeah.
When we look back, we see that it was under great times of persecution. In our own catechism, I mean, it uses the phrase that the blood of the martyrs, you know, were the foundation of the church, really, to bring Christ back, nothing will ever prevail against our one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church.
The whole thing of the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit and the bride say, come.
Right.
And Our Lady is intertwined with her spouse, the Holy Spirit. They're so together. And some of the most powerful people are those consecrated to the Blessed Mother and filled with the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And I interviewed this woman named Dr. Gloria Polo. A lot of people probably have heard about her by now, but she, and I bring this up for a reason. Someone had called my office one day and said, hey, do you know this Dr. Gloria Polo? And I went, the name was vague. I think I knew the name, that was it. He said, oh my gosh, you need to get this book. And he went on and on about her near-death experience, and it was so unbelievable, some things he said to me. He goes, I'm going to send you the book. So this was about 2 years ago. He sent me the book. So during Lent, I'm trying to pray the rosary more, and I remember standing in confession line, and it was packed, so it must have been right before Easter. And I had the book with me, and I went, well, this is the good time as ever to finally read this book. And it's not a big book. It's, you know, something you can read quickly, probably within an hour. So I'm reading the book, and I went, oh my gosh, I just got the strong push. You need to get her to come to the, we do this international prayer and fasting with many, many groups. Then I went, there's one problem. She speaks fluent Spanish. I used to a long time ago, not anymore. And she's in Colombia, so how do I get to her, et cetera, et cetera. So I put the book down after I read it and tried to get her initially. Nothing happened. But that thought to get her would not stop. So long story short, through a lot of jumping through many hoops, as I'm sure you've done with doing certain things, you get through a lot of hoops.
Yep.
We were able to finally get permission from her, not permission, but a letter from her in Spanish that she was coming. So we were so thrilled, and this was back in 2011. So the day that she arrived at the office, the day at the Basilica is always on a Saturday, she arrived here on a Thursday to stop in with her with the translator. And so we thought she'd be visiting with us for half an hour, go to her place and get ready for speaking at the Basilica. She proceeded to share with us for 3 hours. There was about 10 of us here. And I bring this up for a reason in a minute, you'll see why, of what happened to her and visiting heaven, hell, and purgatory after, you know, the near-death experience. But one of the things I'll never forget that she said in her three-hour testimony, it was phenomenal. And, of course, as she's sitting there, we're seeing how the lightning that hit her as she was walking and went through her shoulder all the way down, sheared off her breast, went down through her stomach. Her stomach was all, we saw the horrible burn marks, through her ovaries, and she was wearing an IUD at the time, pulverized her ovary, went down through her leg, and her leg to this day was almost amputated. She walks with a big boot. So we saw this woman, humble, I can't imagine how she used to be different, with such love and such joy and such humility, sharing her story. And she said the Lord showed her the most powerful people are consecrated souls who feed on him daily. And she used the word eat, you know, eat, eat his body and blood. They are a huge threat to the dark ruler. to the kingdom of darkness.
Right.
And she just encouraged us, continue promoting adoration. You know, all of us, right? All our groups out there. Continue to promote adoration. Continue to promote, you know, masses all over the place and the Holy Rosary. She said these are the weapons of mass destruction of evil. And it's just, her testimony was so powerful and so beautiful. And now in her form of her body being broken down, she is just traveling all over helping people. And even though you see that she still has suffering in her body, she speaks out against contraception. She speaks pro-life. She talks about heaven, hell, and purgatory. It's just absolutely beautiful.
Mm. And what was the name of her book?
Her book is called Struck by Lightning.
Oh, yeah.
Death, Judgment.
Yeah.
And we actually have put excerpts of the book in our magazine, too, because it's just so powerful. But that the whole thing of adoration has just become very strong in me, the importance of adoration. If we could get adoration throughout our country and open up more in our parishes, I really believe we would see the ending of abortion.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. As a matter of fact, I know you're Irish descent as well as myself, and I was speaking to a doctor that's very pro-life. He spoke at the pro-life dinner here, and in Ireland itself today, there were so many thousands of people that gathered. They were going to make a law legislatively. They were going to pass a law that would give the people of Ireland an abortion up until the very end. And there were so, and you know, not even with the threat of a mother's life and nothing like that, just the legislative bill that was going to be signed in. And there was such an outcry all over Ireland that thousands and thousands of people came together in protest. They did not pass that bill.
Yeah, I think, you know, Our Lady's come to the earth to show us the power of the people, we the people.
That's right.
Especially we the people of God.
Exactly, exactly,
Maureen. The power from our Lord. And
right.
I believe, for the March for Life, for example, I had to man the office, but some of the people that work here went down there, and then they told me just, you know, over 500,000 people were there.
Yep, half a million people.
The powers to be certain channels, put it that way, did not cover this
at
massive
all.
Event.
Yeah.
But it's going viral, thank God, on the Internet. There's tons of footage of all these young people from all over the place. I mean, they're creating the next revolution, which will bring in the culture of life. I mean, it's coming. The victory's coming.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Exactly. And that's what, you know, that's what I say every time I speak, you know. Don't focus on dark. There's enough darkness in the world.
They're all concerned. Here's what I think is great.
When I used
to go to the march in the early years, my kids were really little, and then I didn't go for years. I went back when they were teenagers, and then I saw, oh, this is changing. Wow, there's more priests involved. And then when I went several years ago, I'm like, oh, my gosh, there's
more
bishops and priests,
right.
And there's youth rallies all over the place.
Right.
That's the victory. It's coming.
It is coming. And that's the power of the people, especially, you know, in our own country. We see what's taking place in other countries, but the people in our own country, you know, our government was founded on, you know, for the people, by the people. And anymore, the people aren't having much of a voice, and the people have got to come together in solidarity on the issues of life and morality that count. And they have to make their, you know, they have to make their legislative powers know that they voted them in office. They can also vote them right out of office. That's
exactly.
The power of the people.
Exactly. And what's interesting too, in some of the reports that I had seen, we pray for the people that believe the killing of the innocent is okay or is permissible.
That's right.
Because over the years, you're seeing more and more abortionists become pro-life.
All the time.
You're seeing all these women who have had abortions who, you know,
quiet,
have experienced
God's
mercy. Silent
no more. Yep.
It's just, you know, you can see the sea change. There's coming a tipping point. And the side that believes that that's okay, that the killing of the innocent is okay, is very concerned because they don't have any new leadership coming up.
Right.
They're not there.
Right.
So I think the handwriting's on the wall. We just need to continue the prayer groups.
Yeah, stay steadfast.
Exactly. The fasting is I was just going to say, the fasting is key because one of the things that we're going to be doing February 13th is the beginning of Lent, and about 2003, we always coordinate with all the groups, the International Week of Prayer and Fasting, as I mentioned, always in October, but when the Iraq War was beginning in 2003, people said, we got to do something because we don't want this to, you know, escalate into, you know, a Third World War. So we started the first 40 days of prayer and fasting. I think back then we called it For Peace.
Yeah.
And so since that time, we have launched, not just us, we helped spearhead it, but there's all these groups. This
come
will be
together,
our 17th campaign this year, starting for Lent. But the fasting is huge. Because I tell people, prayer with fasting is like, the prayer is the gun, the fasting is the ammunition.
That's right.
And when you put both together, you know, of course in a positive way,
yes,
there's power. And the fasting, as I was reading the Lives of the Saints, it was huge. St. John Vianney was a huge fasting priest. And he said that is the way to fight the devil. And Our Lady saying that prayer and fasting can stop wars in these times. And it reduces the punishments from that God would send. It's going to reduce it because he will look at our prayer and our fasting and have mercy.
And this is, again, this is a time of great mercy on the church. This is a time of great mercy in our country. And the mercy of God is flowing out. And people that know the truth, that have already been set free, that have had a conversion. Of course, we're called to be a deeper conversion every day of our lives. But it's up to us to join together, as you say, with all the other like-minded people, that we can be a loud voice when so many are silent. And I tell everybody, I mean, constantly over the airwaves, but every time I've spoken, that they don't realize the power they have with Our Lady and the power of the Holy Spirit, because you know, we win the battle. We know the end of the story. Fight.
Exactly.
Fight
prayer,
and
prayer
stand.
Prayer is a game changer.
Absolutely.
We say with everyone, prayer is a game changer. And with prayer and fasting, you can not only stop wars, stop catastrophes. It's all throughout the Old Testament.
Right.
And you can, Our Lady said the present fasting in the church is not adequate enough, and she wants that to change. Now, the good news is our bishops made this decision in November 2012, and when I found what they did, I was so excited. They, I'm sure you're, Kathleen, you're already aware of this, but a lot of people aren't out there. They made a decision, the USCCB, the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops, to have a year, of course, with the year of faith that Pope Benedict has proclaimed, to have a year praying for life, marriage, and religious liberty.
That's right.
And what they asked all the parishes in the country to do, starting the Feast of the Holy Family 2012 through November 24th, Feast of Christ the King 2013, several things that blew my mind. I was so excited, but we need to get this out. And that is, they're asking everyone to pray the Daily Rosary. This is our shepherds.
That's right.
Pray the Daily Rosary. Asking all the parishes to have adoration. And if they don't have adoration now in the church, to have something on Sundays, like in the afternoon,
right.
It's on their site. If you go to uscccb.org/life-marriage-and-religious-liberty. And they asked for fasting on Friday.
That's right.
I saw, you have to just go to the site. It's just fantastic. So what we're going to be doing to help get the word out, what our shepherds are doing, and, you know, be there with them, is for the 40 days of prayer and fasting, we have a site, 40daysofprayerandfasting.org. We're going to be updating that next week. We have up there how to pray the rosary. We have the great battles won by the rosary. We're going to be putting some information up what the bishops have said so people know. Look what our shepherds have said. Let's back this.
Right.
And I believe this year of faith and this year of prayer fasting, this year of, you know, with the rosary, I believe there's going to be miracles seen this year.
Amen. I agree with you. We're going to have to take a little break. We went over what we normally do. But my brothers and sisters, I would have you stand by. We are going to take a little break. We'll come right back. And Maureen, I think what I'm going to do, if it's okay with you, I'm going to open up the phone lines.
Absolutely.
And if anybody has a question or they'd like to call in, or, you know, 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or if this is going out globally, so you can also dial toll free 1-888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We thank God for our one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, where Jesus remains present to us until the end of the age, in word and in sacrament. Catholic Radio shares in the ministry of the Church to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth, and in his Sion Catholic Radio has been doing so for over 30 years. Kathleen McCarthy, and in his sign, has been empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring the fire of God's healing love to the world through Catholic radio and the Internet. With God's grace, his word goes out, healing hearts and transforming lives. In his sign, proclaims the culture of life loud and clear in a culture of death. The ministry's mission is to evangelize, catechize, and to be a voice for those who have no voice, proclaiming the truth that will set all people free. To our faithful family and friends who stand with us, thank you for being missionaries with us by supporting In His Sign Catholic Radio. Without your monthly support of prayer and financial giving, our mission would not be able to continue. Our mission voice would be silenced. To our new listeners, please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. All of the staff at In His Sign, even Kathleen McCarthy, the president, donates all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis, at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010, or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
Well, my brothers and sisters, we're back. I have on the phone with me today a beautiful woman, Maureen Flynn, and we will be taking calls. I first want to make an announcement. I was told, please announce it. I wasn't saying anything about it yesterday. I finally did. I got a couple calls. And Wednesday, let's see here, Tuesday, on February 6th, I will be down in West Grove, Pennsylvania. That's down the other side of Kennett Square, just this side of Delaware border. For all of our people down in Delaware, I will be kicking off their year of faith. I will be giving a presentation on the healing power of Christ. I will do a healing Eucharistic service with Father Murphy. Father Murphy will be the pastor, will be walking with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. He's agreed to do that. And while he is, I will be praying to be open to the healing word gifts. So come on out. Once again, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary in West Grove on State Road. And that is February 6th. It's a Tuesday evening. A presentation on the healing power of Jesus. Also, a Eucharistic healing service with Father Murphy and myself. After that, Wednesday, February 12th, I will be at St. Stanislaus. That's in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, at the Parish Center, 7:30 in the evening. That'll be Wednesday, February 12th. So I had a lot of calls. I'm giving it out. Sorry I didn't give it out before. Both evenings are free, open to the public, so just come. This is their, you know, year of faith, and it's a beautiful time to come on out and gather together. We have a couple callers on the line. Let's take them right now. Lena.
Yes, Kathleen.
How are you?
How you doing?
I'm good. You have a question?
Bless you. I have a question for, what's her name?
Maureen.
Let me put it down on my radio.
Maureen. Yeah, shut that radio off.
Yes.
Okay.
For Maureen, I have a question, and then I hang up.
Sure.
Why this, of course, we cannot say that everything is beautiful, beautiful in our church, even though how much we love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a lover for our church, and I defend it with my life. But what I'm saying, what I'm trying to say is why there's a lot of silence from a lot of many, many bishops, not all of them, but many, mm-hmm. concerning politicians or people that they're not, that are living in sin publicly.
Yep.
To receive our Lord. And by doing this, they give big scandals to the others. And we have a hard time fighting with our brothers and sisters to try to bring it back to church when they see that what's going on. That, well, in other words, they have a pass for doing whatever they want to do, and nobody talk about it. One of them is the Bishop of Albany, New York, with Andrew Cuomo, and all the rest, and I hung up. And listen.
All right, that, thank you.
Kathleen, I don't know if you want to go first, but that's a great question.
All right, Alina, we're going to have to get it. We have other people on the line.
Okay,
so
thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, God bless.
I think Lena, is it Lena?
Yes.
What a great question.
It is.
You also read my mind. When we'll pray for the governor of New York. We'll pray for him because he is misguided and he is, you know, not acting as a Catholic, a Catholic, you know, practicing Catholic. So we pray for him and pray for God's mercy on him, that pray for illumination. But yes, there are many people today who say they're Catholic and yet promote the killing of the innocent and promote laws that are against the Lord. And I think the only thing I can think of is many of these people that are that way, evidently something is missing, and they need to a more of a conversion and prayer. And yes, I do think it's important that we pray for our bishops and our shepherds. Many of them are starting to speak out compared to years ago, and I think it's going to build and build and build. I see, for example, Bishop Cordiglione from San Francisco, who is the one who's very involved with the USCCB promoting the year for praying for life, marriage, and religious liberty. He said, he made a comment. We put it on our website. And by the way, Kathleen, I wanted to just tell people, for those who do go on websites, we have a website called Sign, S-I-G-N, no plural, so it's S-I-G-N as in Nancy, .org. And my daughter is actually the one who puts a lot of the, we change it daily, a lot of information up there. And he made the statement that is on our website under the Faith News, that legalizing, for example, gay marriage is like legalizing male breastfeeding. But you have to read the whole article. But the way he phrased it, I went, oh my gosh, praise God that there are leaders out there now speaking out on different issues. And I think what we need to do when we hear them speaking out, and what we're trying to do on our website and in the magazine, is take these letters from various bishops who do speak out and publicize it. We need to say thank you for being such strong leaders. Then I think that will encourage others to speak out.
Amen. Amen. I agree. And I got to tell you this, quite frankly, we have one of the strongest voices around, and that's our own Archbishop of Philadelphia. And that's Archbishop Charles Chaput.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Yes, and he was a voice in Denver. He's even a louder voice here, and we praise and thank God for them.
Yeah, you're very blessed with Chaput. I got to meet him and got his blessing last year when I was at the Georgetown Cardinal O'Connor Life Conference at Georgetown University. They host it every year. I went there this past Saturday. It was on fire. It was fantastic. And he is a leader. He speaks out. And when they do speak out that way, we must continue praying for them like never before, and we need to encourage them. I think we're going to see, my gut feeling is we're going to see more and more priests begin to speak out. But let's pray they do it soon.
Amen.
Otherwise, I think we're going to have more problems with religious persecution. So I think the key is, I think the game changer is prayer and fasting.
Absolutely. Nothing more powerful and no greater weapon than two hands joined together in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get this other call on really quick.
And I have a freebie, too. I just want to tell them about one card at the end if
okay.
we have time.
Dominic. Dominic.
Yes.
Hi. Real quick, we only have 5 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm so glad to hear Maureen Flynn on your broadcast today. I know she promotes the magazine Signs and Wonders,
right.
which highlights many modern-day Catholic prophets. Some are, they have they don't give their name and so forth, and some people will say, I'm not going to listen to any alleged prophet if they're,
right.
if they're anonymous. I'd like to hear a reason why. That would be an impediment because I have a friend that's becoming Catholic after Christ, and according to the Bible, there's no prophets that remain anonymous, and he won't even read
You're
some
right.
of the messages.
You're right.
But also, in that same vein, why is the church kind of standoffish in regard to private revelation when you got 20, 30 modern-day alleged prophets saying the same thing, unless we convert and pray and fast like you're promoting,
right.
mm-hmm. we're on the verge of a third world war. Why is there a reluctance
in that
area? And I'll hang up and listen to your...
Okay.
Okay.
First of all, I think fear is a factor. We call it the fear factor. And remember, our Lord said to St. Faustina, fear is useless. What is needed is trust.
Right. That's a
and then the scripture, the Lord is not the author of fear, but of power, of might, and of a sound mind. And I do believe that's something all of us, I know myself, I pray, Lord, give me a spirit of courage and a spirit of love and a spirit of, you know, proclaiming the truth. Because but for the grace of God, go any of us.
Exactly.
But I do believe that's a factor that occurs with many people. There's fear. And what I say to people, look, if the message of Fatima had gotten out like it should have, we would not have had World War II, because Our Lady told Lucia that if they did not amend their ways, there would be a greater war, which she was prophesying World War II, in the reign of Pius XI, and he wasn't even Pope at the time. So that was a prophecy. But, you know, due to fear and for whatever reasons, the word did not get out like it should have about
right.
Fatima. And, of course, we had the consequences. We had World War II.
Exactly.
Now we're being told, like never before, that there is the danger of a Third World War.
Right.
We must pray and fast like never before. And again, I think it's through these wonderful lay groups that are getting the word out. And I also think there's some really wonderful, brave priests who speak up.
Yeah.
And yes, we are allowed to report on private revelations. It's, you know, Mother Teresa, when she lived at the time, believed in many of the
yeah.
you know things that were happening around. So did Padre Pio. So did many of the saints.
Right.
Saint Faustina, I remember in the early 90s, people said, well, she's not a saint yet. I said, well, they've laid hands on her. How else do people know about these saints or mystics unless it's promoted? The church
right.
takes its time as they should.
Yes.
On the other hand, they give us freedom to get the word out on, you know,
yeah, exactly.
what we feel is important to get out.
Right.
And that's the role of the prophetic witness. It's the role of why Our Lady is the prophetess of these times. She's out there, you know, and she is hand in hand with the Holy Spirit, and the two together are very powerful in these times.
Amen.
But I do think we just have to speak. We have to all do our part.
That's right. And, you know, I just want to add, you know, we must be, we're called to be priest, prophet, and king by our virtue of our baptism and confirmation. So little p's for sure, little p, not capital P. And all of us are called to be open, to listen to the whispers of God. I will say I have received an imprimatur for the prophecies that I've given forth and have published and out there. I've been blessed to have that, humbled to have it, and I think Mother Church, in all her wisdom, must move slowly because of scandal. And so, you know, on the other hand, we're just called to speak out. And, you know, myself, so many other people that are have a prophetic voice in the church, they continue to speak out. And guess what? As long as people have ears and listen and they're open to doing God's will and not our own will, he will guide, he will lead, and he will bring that truth forth, because the truth sets people free. And he will move powerfully, especially through this new era of the evangelization. I believe it's a time of Eucharistic miracles. I really do.
And Kathleen, if I could say two things, I know we're at the end of the program. Is one, for those who are interested, I have a card that we're promoting in the next magazine that I'll give free to anybody who either goes on our website or they can contact us. It's Devotion to the Holy Face of Jesus, and I have a lot of these cards to give out. And then why I'm really on this is because one of the particular promises, it will defeat communism, and this is the threat in our own days of the, you know, communism,
right,
progressivism, whatever you want to call it, it's rearing its head. And the Holy Face of Jesus, and St. Therese had a great devotion. It's a beautiful picture, and there's a prayer on the back. So if anybody contacts us, we have an 888 number. Would I be able to give that out today?
Yep,
right,
go
now?
Ahead.
888-478-PRAY, P-R-A-Y, 888-478-PRAY. You can call for the free prayer card. And also, May 18th, we're still making the plans, but right now we're planning to be up there for a day of a seminar conference called There Are No More Human Solutions.
Praise God.
How to Prepare for Heaven's Events Leading to the Triumph.
Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being our guest, and we'll be talking.
Thanks.
My brothers and sisters, we praise and thank God for the gift of every moment of our lives. And we ask that if there's anybody that's separated from our one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, that they would make a decision today to come home, because the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. This is not my promise. This is the promise of Jesus Christ himself in the scriptures. So please pray, fast, be vigilant, be a watchman for the Lord. And no, there's nothing to fear except fear itself. Be bold, be holy for yourself, for your families, for your parishes, and for your country, and for your world. God bless you.